Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, look, I've ruined it already.
You went too early, this
new software going down to 3-2-1 countdown. Anyway, here we go. 3-2-1.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer booking at Billy Bob's. A Paolo Di Canio. West Ham United. More than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good evening. This is more than just a podcast. Or good morning or good afternoon. It's been a while. My name is George. I used to be the host of this podcast. I am here with, let's go oldest members first. John. Hello, John.
Hello, George.
Oldest in time on the podcast, but you're actually probably the oldest on the podcast as well, aren't you?
Probably.
Hello to Nigel Shedman. Hello, Nigel.
Now, why did you assume I was the next oldest?
Because he listens, doesn't he?
I don't know. Am I right?
Time on the podcast.
One of us.
Oh, right.
I was going to have the same gambit, to be fair, because if you would have chose me first, I would have done my fucking nut.
Yes. I'm in my shed.
Hey.
Shedman.
Oh, look at that. You're a pro.
I know. Yeah. You should tell the difference. It'll also be done in an hour.
Yeah.
And Len, Cunningtown Len, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I've got stuff.
The youngest member of the podcast.
You are really. I'm all right. I've got stuff to get off my chest.
All right, then.
But, at least I'm having a laugh now.
What do you want to go first with? Chelsea?
If you like, yeah.
Yeah. We played Chelsea on Saturday evening, wasn't it?
It was.
The El Jessico, as I was calling it in my house, as my daughter is, her mum's as Chelsea season ticket holder, and obviously me being the West Ham side. It was the decider, I feel, as to who's going to finish on top in the league, and whoever finished on top of the league this season would be her team of choice. Now, unfortunately, it didn't go our way, and I'm going to start with John. What did you think of that Chelsea match?
It was a disappointing result. I think, you know, when I saw the team, I was, funny enough, on Saturday, I had my first drink since the lockdown. A friend of mine has not been too well, and he called a drink, and there were six of us there, and I'd say four out of the six, excluding me, were Chelsea fans. And we had a lot of conversations about this, and I was trying to explain to them that really, you know, they should beat us because we've only got, well, we've got quite a few of our first team regular players are missing. I think it showed. I think we lacked a lot on that game. We didn't look particularly inspiring at all. I think it's catching up with us with the injuries, you know, Ryan Fredericks playing and starting a game of that magnitude. It was just, I think it's just showing the lack of depth in the squad. And it's same as everybody's said all along, you know, we've got to play in a team without a striker. So it wasn't a great game. I don't think it was a
pretty
red
rubbish
card.
Game, wasn't it, really?
Yeah. I don't think Chelsea were particularly great. I'd like to think that maybe even if we had Antonio up front, we would have been a better proposition against them. We would have given them more sort of caused them more trouble than we did. But, yeah, it was just a disappointing result. But, you know, we're still doing all right, aren't we? So,
oh, it will do.
You know, we just, you know, we can't start, you know, when you're sitting there with a load of Chelsea guys talking about battling for the Champions League, you know, things have changed somewhat, don't you? Yeah. So it wasn't the end of the world, was it?
And we still could. We still could. It's not all over yet. Len.
Hello, mate.
First half, there was a big handball shout.
Yeah.
I claimed that if that was up the other end, i.e. a Chelsea player kicking it into a West Ham player's arm, that would have been a penalty.
Well, it's funny you should say that. Firstly, I thought we played, all things considered, I thought we played pretty decent. And from what I've seen of Chelsea, I thought they had a good game as well. I thought they played well. I thought they were well-drilled. Tuchel obviously coached them right through the squad to do a specific job. I thought Declan's mate, whose name I always forget.
Mason Mount.
I thought he was outstanding.
He was their best player, I think.
He is their best player, isn't he?
He's English. Whoa. But Gamp to the penalty. That wasn't. This is interesting because I popped out to the kitchen to get a beer. So I missed it live. And when I got back in to see the one replay I saw, I'm not joking. The time it takes to pull up the can of beer, pour it in, and come back in. It wasn't replayed.
What did you have?
I had a Carlsberg export.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, that's my sort of go-to
export,
Asian persuasion beer, yeah.
Very posh.
All right. Does it come with the brown bag still, or?
No, it comes with a little black carrier. No, that's special brew. To commemorate the visit of Winston Churchill to the Denmark brewery, but we digress.
That's not like you two.
you two don't usually do that, do you?
No, especially where beer's concerned. I can digress a lot. But
go on then, the handball. Go on.
Now, I didn't see it live. And I think this is an important point that I'm making because we're starting to think that decisions should be made as they're seen and not slowed down. Because when eventually I did see it slowed down, after the game had finished, from what I've been educated from the good people at UEFA and FIFA and the FA, I'm told this season that's a penalty.
Well, that's how I understood it as well.
In the light of day, seeing it either live on TV or at the game, I probably don't think it is. I'd probably give it the benefit of the doubt.
Well, that's the argument I was having in my house with the Chelsea side of the family. That, you know, especially with that decision that went against us in the second half when it was never a red card and it looked 10 times worse slowed down, and that was what the decision was given on.
And this is what I'm getting to because I've had somewhat of an epiphany of all this because when it came to what happened was strangely when that red card decision came in the second half, the missus is sitting next to me. She never sits next to me watching football, feeding the cats. And I see it happen, and I say to myself, I think you and the cats should slowly move out.
What did they have?
They had ham.
Oh.
She was hand-feeding them ham. And I said, she was having the last little peaceful Zen moment with them. And I said, so I think you should move away, because it's going to look at this screen. They're going to show it in slow-mo. And when someone says to you in your ear, we'd like you to have a look at something, and they slow it down, what they're saying is, we want you to see something. That's what it means. And what I think the problem was, if the referee gets to see that penalty slowed down, he gives a penalty. And that ain't going to work. We can't have VAR if it's like that. If there's any influence in it at all, if there's someone in your ear saying, we want you to look at this, and they're slowing it down, then the FA, the VAR experiment has failed. And I saw Nigel after, because on Irons United, and he was asked a question from Stell. I just caught the end of it, funny enough. Is VAR, does it suit the big teams? The problem is, VAR should be, the FA should have safeguarded VAR from that question being asked, because you've got two different ways of using it. To tell, ask someone to have a look at something and to slow it down, everything looks like a foul and it's going to. I wouldn't like to be asked a question like that. If someone was saying to me, slowing something down, saying to me, look at this, I'm thinking, oh, it's a red card. That's why would they ask me? If someone's just saying, go on, like they did with the handball, and listen, I'm going to put my hands up. I didn't see the handball live. But the fact of the matter is, you've got to judge things out of their scene, not slowing down. And it's the same with both incidents. Ordinarily, I'm saying we don't need VAR for either of them. But VAR's ruined that, because 5 years ago, almost to the day, was the worst ever refereeing performance at Stamford Bridge. We've gone 5 years. They haven't sorted this out. They haven't found a solution to this. Shambles.
Yeah. Well, I don't disagree with anything you said. I think that, you know, the fact that they made him go over and look at it, that's immediately put the thought in his head.
Of course it is. It's influence.
I've done something wrong.
Yeah.
And if they're going to do that for that, they should have done it for the handball, and he would have been in the same position.
But what they're doing, they're dealing with them differently, and that can't happen.
No, I agree. Nigel.
Yep.
Go on.
Well, for a start, it weren't handball, because his arm was tucked into his chest. From the way I saw it, is that the ball actually hit his chest, then his arm. So it sort of hit the both, went from one to the other. That's not handball.
Well, the vagaries
in the rule. There is a vagary in the rule, in that if you score a goal, and it touches your arm, either deliberately or accidentally, they disallow the goal. But if the ball touches your arm and you're the defender, it's not a penalty unless it's deemed to be deliberate or your arm is in an unnatural position. Now, his arm was down by his side, so it weren't an unnatural position. So it's not a penalty.
But he's moved the old body toward the ball.
No, he's moved his body, not his arm. His arm's down next to him. The ball, his arm's touching the chest.
If the ball's going toward the goal and it touches up, and it does, you're wrong, Nigel. It touches his arm first, not the chest. Because I've seen it.
It doesn't touch his arm, then the chest. Because the chest was in front of the arm.
No, it touches his arm. And we're told, and I've checked it up, and we've seen more on Sky Sports today, the referee talking about it. He says it's a penalty.
No, never in a million years.
I didn't see it in real time, and I only think that's how you should judge it.
What I'm saying is,
I think what you're saying, it not being a penalty, is in the way that we view it, you know, the old natural or not natural and all that. But in the way things have gone over the last season,
they're saying it is.
It should be a penalty given the way it's given.
They've given a penalty like that then. Where they've given a penalty for the arm, they've given penalties that have been accidental and ball, where the arm's out away from the body. His arm was tucked into his body.
They did show one, actually, but I just can't remember what it was.
There was one in the Newcastle game.
I think it might have been that.
Literally the same day, but I haven't seen it. I read about it saying that it was a very similar situation, and his was given. It was given as handball, which then disallowed the goal. Which it kind of just bounced up, hit him on the chest.
They're giving two different handballs to do different
things. Yes,
scenarios. Because it's down to him scoring a goal. That's what's been
disallowed. Yes, so what happened there is the goalkeeper come out, got to the ball first, but then as the ball's come up, it hit Callum Wilson on the arm, but his arm was not in an unnatural position. His arm was tucked into his body. Yeah, but because it hit his arm and then went forward and he's tapped it into the goal, the rule is if the ball touches your arm at any point scoring and a goal is scored, the goal's disallowed. with penalties, I'm pretty sure the rule was different. And this is the thing. You've got one rule for defenders, one rule for attackers.
Okay,
now, that's where the fault is. Yeah, so definitely.
But the Azpilicueta one, was that ball not going in the goal?
Oh, no, no. Yeah, but he's a defender. Yeah?
I know. So I get your point, but I'm just arguing
that's the rule. That was the rule.
Yeah,
I think if you check the rules, I remember this at the beginning of the season. That's what they were saying, is that the deliberate handball for a penalty, it's got to be like deliberate handball or deemed deliberate handball, or the hand's got to be in a natural position. So I think Declan Rice gave away a penalty early in the season because he's jumped and his arm was sort of high up, unnatural position. As with Queer, his arms literally become part of his chest, a lot like his torso. So they deem that as not an unnatural position. And he didn't thrust the arm forward to stop the ball. The ball came quickly. His arm was tucked into his body. Bang. No penalty. VAR looked at it. VAR check everything like
they
that.
Looked at it, but what I'm saying, what Len's saying is that he didn't send the ref over to look at it. Now, if they sent the ref over to look at it, the ref's immediately thought, and this is what I think's happened with the red card. He's immediately thinking, "Oh shit, I've done something wrong here.
Yeah,
I need to go back this on my."
No, the problem for me with the referee is all they showed it was a slow mo. When we're looking, watching, it gets over there, and they're already playing it. Okay, as he gets to the screen, and it's slow-mo. Then, yeah.
But they would have shown the handball slow-mo, and he would have given penalty.
No,
because he's not seeing it in context.
This is what I'm saying, it's not going to be a penalty because the arm was not in an unnatural position.
What I'm saying is,
if the ref gets called over, and he gets saying, you're saying you think you know the rules, I'll tell you what, under them circumstances, you're changing your mind.
I'm not.
Hang on, maybe I don't know the rules. Maybe I got it wrong. And this is the complete shambles of it.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, Nigel.
Natural position.
The referee was on TV
anymore
this morning saying exactly opposite to you. And he's a referee. So if you think you know and he thinks he knows, and neither of them's getting asked a question at the time, the game's a mess. And this is what's giving me the arsehole. The game is a mess. Because you're not, there's no, unless someone's shooting from 25 yards, you're not even celebrating a goal.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I don't celebrate goals.
No, do I. If they're going, if the world is that they can't possibly be offside or whatever, you're not celebrating the goal.
But the unnatural position thing wasn't a thing anymore, was it? It was if the ball hits the hand, that's it. That was what was going on earlier this season.
I don't think I know anymore, John.
Right, handball, Here we go. It is an offensive for player. Deliberately touches the ball with
We never proved that with VAR, deliberately.
Right, no.
Because you can't prove it with Balbuena.
This is the laws of the game, from the FA. Deliberately touches the ball with a hand arm, including moving the hand arm towards the ball. No, he did do that.
You look at it again. The whole torso, his hand, arm goes towards the ball. No, his body goes towards the ball.
No, not
watch
just
it
the
now.
Arm.
Watch it now. It won't take you a second on YouTube.
I'll go and have a look.
Torso,
I'm telling you now.
The arm go towards the ball.
The torso, yes. The rule says including the moving of the hand and arm towards the ball. Yeah, he's not pushed.
And the torso does.
No. If his body's tucked, if his arm, this is the thing. The arm
is
tucked
into
the body.
This is stupid. Let me finish.
So he didn't do that. Scores an opponent's goal directly, from the hand arm, even accidental, including by the goalkeeper. Yeah. After the ball was touched there or a teammate's hand arm, even if accidental, immediately.
Right. I'm watching it now. For me, he pushes that side of his body towards the ball.
The body, ball, not the arm.
Right. See, his arm's part of his body, though.
No, I know to be like panicky about it. Yeah,
well,
he moves his whole body. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He moves his whole body, not his arm. He doesn't thrust his arm out.
Does his arm touch the ball? George, does his arm touch the ball?
It does for me.
Yes, I'm not denying the arm doesn't touch the ball, but because it's tucked into the body, it's not deemed as handball.
Right, okay. We'll show you this again with another team in the middle of Wembley Stadium with all them people looking at you. I know it wasn't. All on TV. I'm going to ask you the same question again. I guarantee you do not come out with the same answer because that's exactly what the influence that referee has had and that you don't. You get your chance to look at it and go through your rule book and sit in the cold light of day.
Right, here we go. Except for the above, it is not an offence if the ball touches a player's hand arm, yeah? If the hand arm is close to the body and does not make the body unnaturally bigger.
He's moved everything toward the ball and it stopped it going in the net.
By the rule of that law, if the hand arm, this is what I was saying, if the hand arm is close to the body and does not make the body unnaturally bigger.
This is why I got the arsehole. Quite frankly.
Oh, dear.
What do you think, John? What
on
do you
the
think,
FA
John?
Website?
You haven't really commented on the handball.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'm kind of relenting. It's so confusing now. At the beginning of the season, they were giving penalties left, right and centre when they were just kicking the ball at the player's arm and it was hitting his arm. So
because the arm was away from the body.
No, it wasn't.
No, honestly.
It wasn't. It was no matter where he touched him. It was ridiculous what they were giving. And, you know, I feel, because I'm a West Ham fan, that if that was up, one of our players in the Chelsea box, they would have got a penalty. And I feel there's the big team bias and that sort of stuff going on. But
outvoted, Nigel, when you're going to get outvoted on the Super League punishment as well. I can feel it in my bones.
You can outvote me all you like. Don't make you right.
You can go on your Irons United and be controversial as you like. When you come on here, you fall into the line, son.
Well...
That's 1-0 to us.
I don't think so, because I'm right by the laws of the game.
You're not right.
I've told you the law of the game. The law's an ass. That's the problem. It's the law that's the problem.
But what did you think of the game, though, Nigel?
What did I think of the game? I thought Chelsea played well. It was a bit of weren't as entertaining. They stopped us well. I didn't realise how good defensively Chelsea were.
They were, weren't they?
Considering they've only conceded 8 goals, and I think 5 of them were against West Brom. So something went wrong that night. But you can see why they've in the 10 or 11 games that Tuchel's had them, why they've conceded so few goals. They defended well. They didn't give Lingard. They know we like to get the runners going, and we didn't. I don't think we got a run on them once where we got behind them.
No, we didn't.
And
they cut everything out.
And Lingard, sometimes, rather than complaining about if we'd have had this player, that player, we should have bought a striker in. Thing you got to say, well played, Chelsea. You've done your own work on us, and you stopped us. But you got an harder running, and I still think we can catch you. So
yeah, we can
hold the fire.
But I was impressed with Chelsea. And listen, let's not make no bounds about it. Other than this penalty that we're arguing about, there weren't much else other goal-mouth action from us, was there?
No.
Just if Lingard had one that skewed wide, I think.
But I think that's why it makes it even more important, in my opinion. Anyway.
Well, yeah, it can change the game.
Yeah, it would have done. Right. You mentioned it, Len. We wanted to talk a little bit about it. It's been done to death in the last week or so. And obviously it's all changed since you guys recorded a week ago. Super League. Obviously we weren't part of it. But West London Blues that we played on Saturday were. So I know there was a bit of a debate we wanted to have around punishments. Nigel, where do you stand on punishments for the 6 that were?
Well, the punishment, I see people saying throw the book at them, points, money, ban them, everything. And for me, they do need to be punished. The punishment I would be looking at is because what they actually did was they were resigning from UEFA. So big punishment, actually, I'm looking to UEFA. Let's see what you do. Because they were walking away from your tournament. Technically, they weren't quitting the Premier League.
No.
Yeah, they hadn't resigned from the Premier League, and they were going to still put teams in the Premier League. We never got the details what type of teams they were putting out, but technically it was going to be the status quo. Just on a midweek, they'd be playing in this European League. So it was UEFA, realistically, they were sticking the fingers up to, first and foremost. Secondly, I don't go for the points thing. And basically, I look at our situation in, we never got done with points. We were fortunate not to get done with points. By them undermining the Premier League and doing what they did, it didn't do anything to the league table. It didn't affect how games were played or the way the league has been, you know, nothing affected any results. So to actually hit them with a points penalty, I just don't see it happening. So therefore,
no, it won't happen.
No,
I agree with you there.
Yeah, it won't. I don't think it should happen because they've not done anything.
Well, I'll tell you why it should. Because what you said is all true. However, by them wanting to remain in the Premier League, which, don't get me wrong, we all want that, what they're actually asking to do is to gain a financial advantage. And that has always been punished by points deduction, as Sheffield Wednesday will tell you.
Sheffield United won't, though.
No, well, they won't. But then again, we could be in Sheffield United's position. Are we going to sue them for lack of for not being punished? Because I personally think that we should have got points deduction. I know every kind of case has to get judged by its own merits, and somewhat every case is always a new case. Like this is, we never really foresaw this. But when it comes to it, the rule is if you try to get a financial advantage, you get docked points because they know that financial penalties don't cut the mustard. And I know all about this, it's hurting fans and it's hurting players. I know that. But you've already started this and it's been going for 20 odd years now, and it's continued to go for 20 odd years because it's an effective punishment. I can't see a way that you can't. What happens is the punishment comes quickly, then they appeal it and it gets reduced. And I can't see why you shouldn't be doing it this time. It's a strange one because you're right. It is more UEFA and not FA. But I don't know how FA are going to carry on, continue docking people points and ignoring this. I think you've got to dock people points.
The one thing I don't agree with, funny enough, is the carte blanche docking of points when clubs go into administration.
Yeah, that was going to be my point. Is that why, if we go down the whole route of don't affect the club, the players, the fans, it's the owners, then why do clubs get docked points when the owners go bump?
Because what they're doing is they're gone. What it is, it's a phoenix. When they go into administration, we're starting again.
Yes.
But for all intents and purposes, sorry, you're finished. In the old days, you'd have been bankrupt, you'd have been gone, you'd have been Accrington Stanley.
Yes.
Nowadays, the law supports you doing a phoenix. It's wrong if you owe money by the club, and that's why they deduct points. One, because they haven't got the money to pay them, and two, because they've took a financial advantage, which is a state law for a limited company.
But what happens is, because it's carte blanche, clubs like Wigan, who actually were solvent, but their owner deliberately put him into administration because of some dispute. Mm. They docked the club points and then they got relegated. And what that meant as well then was their best players got to leave even cheaper. So
But that's business. That's not football. The FA can only judge on footballing matters. And if what you do is feed yourself, well, we've been better financial position going to administration, then the FA will say, well, okay, we'll have to sort of offset that by taking points away. This is what happens when business, football becomes business. You can't, and this is the same situation with the Super League. What they're saying is, and they're all in debt, I like to sort of remind you.
Oh, yeah.
There's no reason why Real Madrid and Barcelona, and there's no reason why they won't drop in administration. They're saying we want to start again in another league, recoup our money, and we do better in this league as well. I'm sorry, that's the same old story. Might be in a different language, may have a European accent, but you're doing the same thing, and that's why you need to get deducted points. If FA are going to be consistent, but they won't.
But the thing is, yeah, with the letter, all they've got at the moment is this letter of, you know, yes, we're going to go into it.
They've signed contracts.
Apparently so. That's what Perez, Florentino Perez, the Real Madrid bloke, is claiming that they have all signed legally binding contracts.
And he's going to go for
them. He can take him to court and sue them if
and well, let that play out then.
Well, this is the problem. We haven't got time for it to play out. Because if you're going to, even if UEFA takes sanctions and the FA takes sanctions, Aston Villa could be in the Champions League. You don't know.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is all he can do is take money off of them. That's what the FA, that's what the Premier League should be doing. I'm all for fine them and actually...
Can't fine them.
Well, of course you can. If they've broken a rule, of course you can fine them. If you can dock points, you can fine them.
That's not consistent with them.
They won't ban their chief executives from the meetings.
Well, I think they're going to do that anyway. I don't think that.
Well, they have broken. There was a lot of talk about Rule 9 or something, which.
Yes, right.
So that they can't have.
Join another
they can't
league.
Join any other league without permission of the thing. So they have broken a specific rule. So they deserve some level of punishment based on that rule, you know.
They won't be dock points.
No, they won't be dock points.
What I'm saying is, if they're going to be consistent, they should. Don't let Sky Sports con you. I know what they're trying to do. I can see what everyone's doing. They're running the campaign about, oh, you shouldn't
punish the fans.
Well, that's very convenient for you to say that. One, because, you know, that's, you know, this is in your interest. And two, because you've shown the fans having their demonstrations. For once, you can visualise the fans that are getting punished. Wow, there's lots of them. Look at them who are going to be miserable in the points deduction. Well, I'm afraid that's life. You didn't see the Sheffield Wednesday ones. Well, furthermore, now the owner of Spotify has shown an interest in buying Arsenal. Well, we haven't just fallen from the top four of the league, we've fallen from the top four protesting already. Because suddenly lots of stuff's happening for Sky to produce. This comes down to a financial arrangement. They've tried to gain a financial advantage. And this is all it's down to. They didn't really want to change the status quo. These 12 teams have been living beyond their means. They've seen a way to get out of it. They've taken it. Why are they taking it? Because the people who made the decisions are money men. They were taking it. They take these decisions because they're easy decisions.
But the whole thing is just a sort of morally corrupt from the point of view that like Sky are standing there as the bastions of morality. Let's keep it. Well, what? And then UEFA. You've got UEFA. They're wrong. Well, look at UEFA. Look at FIFA. The whole thing is just...
The whole thing's corrupt. This is what's pissed me off this week, John. In the last 5 to 10 years, we've come nowhere. We've paid lip service with VAR, lip service with fair play, lip service with making the leagues fairer so people spend more money. The moment you started seeing something this season with us, you've seen it come tumbling down. Nothing's changed.
I don't think it's just us. I think it's with Leicester. And possibly Everton as well.
It's scaring them.
Yeah, of course it's scaring them. Great time for them to say yes to this. Great time for them.
But this is the thing, when you look at it, when you look at the budgets, one thing I've said for years is that there are 4 to 5 teams that demand, whose owners demand Champions League football. They demand it of their managers. Now, bearing in mind that only 4 of them can do it, even if they all finished on the same points, they would find a way with goal difference or whatever. So one of them he's going to lose his job because he's going to miss out. Yeah.
Yeah. Then, unsustainable.
Then you got Spurs. And what the funny thing what Spurs have done is that they've Levy's built a Champions League structured club.
Yeah.
But without the Champions League.
Yeah, there's no room.
Yeah. So now, they've probably thought that once they got in and established themselves in, that they would then be the new kids on the block and they would stay in. What they're finding after last season and now this season, well, it don't work like that, does it?
No.
You don't get to stay in. You have to keep earning it. And now they're panicking because they're £1 billion stadium. Now, here's the funny thing about it, yeah, in regards to West Ham, because... And perhaps where you can see why Tottenham complained about West Ham having an Olympic Stadium, why a lot of clubs complain about it, and why, believe me, if we get gifted that stadium or buy it on the cheap, they will go to court over it.
Yeah, you can see.
West Ham, actually, especially with COVID and everything, are one of the better off clubs because we're only paying £3 million a year rent.
Yeah.
We can afford our stadium.
Right. Cut your liabilities. That's what you need to do in this league. Look at Tottenham. They're over half a billion in debt.
Yeah. And it all goes round. The only thing for me is that everybody's getting pious about these rich billionaire owners. The time to get pious was when they were buying the clubs.
Yeah.
Yes, too late now. Because, all right, Stan Kroenke sells. Well, then the geezer from Spotify turns up, who's got even more money, and he will spend it. And so everything they're complaining about is, oh, we stopped their greed. You haven't stopped their greed.
The greed
is there now.
Oh, that was
not paraffin on the fire.
It was not true. The fans did this. No, they didn't. No. It's you look at what that Switzerland version of the new deal for the UEFA League the Champions League anyway. You look at that. That thing is just as bad. You know, we could qualify for the Champions League and still not get in there because Man United have got a better history of being in the league.
No, it's not true. We still qualify. What they're saying is that if we finish fifth and Manchester United finished like seventh or eighth, they would get Champions League, even though they're further down the league. That's what it is. So if we finished in the Champions League places, we still get it. Where it's unfair is there are teams that have performed far better that season. We'll take Arsenal this season. You know, there's going to be five clubs, I believe. I think Arsenal will be finished ninth. So there'll be five clubs above Arsenal. Now, if the new format was brought in, technically Arsenal would be gifted a spot. Because they are the best, or they are the highest coefficient club that has failed to qualify for the Champions League.
And it's all again.
It's
just
a shambles.
Yeah, and it's that again just to...
is to keep them with the money. But this is what happens. But then again, the fans demand, you know, all we hear about, spend the money, buy the players, give them the money. People got to realise this money comes from something. Are we?
Yeah, of course it does.
Now, me personally, I'm happy to go back to the old way. Let's just go back to the old way. But I don't think a lot of the fans are happy with that. But then again, I'm not ambitious. I don't bother if West Ham never win the league.
I'd sooner be out of this and back to how it used to be.
Yeah.
Have a cup run because at least I could jump at a goal and sort of know things ain't going to fall flat on my face.
Because is it really going to change after all this? Is it really going to change?
No, it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something, right? Let's go back to last week. After all the fake, this is appalling shit.
Yeah, moralistic outcry.
Yeah, right. Let's look at it this week. I don't think let's take Arsenal for example. The owners, the fans, everyone. I think they've done all right out of it because the owners, they've got an offering. So if they want to liquidate their asset, they've got a chance to get out of it. The fans have had a chance to protest and get new owners that have a bit of change for our spice of life. And Sky, they think to themselves, I'm feeling slightly secure now because we've rallied all the troops and got everyone on our side and we've still got our product.
Yeah.
Not one person... Everyone's benefited from this. everyone. Yeah, and I think this is starting to look a little bit of a con. What's happened this week? Surprise, surprise. They're all having a social media blackout because of the racism thing. So no one can say anything. Funny though, like yesterday, everyone had to see to get their word in about don't punish the fans just before they had their blackout. They're having a laugh. Yeah, they're having, and I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but I can spot influence from a mile off. And they're having a laugh now. They got away with this. They've all got what they wanted. Everyone.
I mean, if you look at UEFA, UEFA fined Trippier suspended Trippier for 12 games for betting irregularities over his move to Atletico Madrid. Yeah, they only ban people 10 games for racism. So what that says is we value money.
You've got to look at some of the historical things that have happened based around racism in Spain and countries like that where they've not done anything really.
I mean, did you read West Ham's statement, John?
No, I didn't. I didn't read it, Nigel, no.
Did you see it, George, West Ham's statement that they put out?
I did read it. I couldn't remember what stood out on it. I'm sure you'll remind me.
Working class values.
Oh, yeah.
Shipbuilders.
The shipbuilders. I remember that. But I actually thought of you, Nigel, when I read that. Because I thought, I bet Nigel's going to call them out on what year they've said that they were founded and all sorts.
Well, I could have
And was they working class at all?
Well, no, they. And one of my favourite things, actually. One of my favourite things is this all created by the poor.
Yeah.
Destroyed by the rich.
It's not.
Well, Arnold, let's take West Ham. Arnold Deals was not a poor man. His dad had bought the Thames Ironworks off of a couple of other geezers. It began with like an M or something and a D. Ditchburn or something, I don't know. But they were called something else, and then he bought, his dad, I think Frank Hills, bought the Thames Ironwork in like the 1860s. So Arnold Hills, very wealthy people, lived in a really nice house in Woodford and lived down in Tunbridge in Kent in like some little mini mansion.
Nice.
So, yeah. So Arnold Hills was not. Funny enough, I did a bit of research on Tottenham. They were formed by a bloke who, which I never knew, lived in a white cottage in White Hart Lane. And because he was the first club secretary, all the posts went to his address. And that's how Tottenham got the White Hart Lane address, because actually they'd never played in White Hart Lane. No. Yeah. But he went to grammar school. So if in like 1885 or something, this bloke's been to grammar school and whatever, well, he ain't working class, is he?
No.
So when you look at it, the Manchester United, they weren't formed by working class. Organised football was organised by the old Etonians.
I was about to say that, yeah.
Yeah, it was all them, old Lord Kinnaird and all that. They set up the Lord first... Who? Lord Kinnaird. That's his name. He set up the organised football, and then they put together the FA Cup. And when you look at the first winners of the FA Cup, it was, you know, like Wanderers, and these were all the
Royal Engineers.
Yeah, the Royal Engineers, all well-to-do
people. Class game.
When they got upset though, when the working class turned up, and that was because like your Blackburn Olympics and who were rivals of Blackburn, tried to come and win the FA Cup, and that was, if you look at the clubs like Burnley, Blackburn, they were mill owners. But then again, were the mill owners working class?
Not really.
No, they had a bit of money. So actually, organised football wasn't created by the poor.
It was formed by the like you say, the Etonians and the wealthier.
Yeah.
For the entertainment and for the leisure of the working class, I would guess.
Well, the funny saying that I've always liked is that football is a gentleman's sport played by hooligans, where rugby is an hooligan sport played by gentlemen.
And fair enough.
That sort of sums it up. And I think what they're basically saying is football's played by the working class. You know,
should we do question time?
Is it time? I just want to give Sean a shout out because he's obviously desperate for one.
No, don't.
No, just leave him to it.
Let him listen to it all right through without him being mentioned.
Have you noticed the WhatsApp group?
I switched it off.
Oh yeah, it was pinging.
Yeah,
oh,
he switched it off.
This is Sean down to a T. He's gone. Has anyone left their phone on? He sent us 9 different messages, 1 to 9.
Yeah.
Is it about club news?
Pictures of his posh pie mash in the pub in the Cotswolds he's sitting in. He's obviously having a great time, isn't he?
Has he got the sex swing in the background?
I think so.
No, he hasn't. Sex pond. It's time for this. It's Facebook, Twitter question time. It's where you, the listener, send us loads of long comments that Nigel reads out word for word, and it usually lasts about 45 minutes.
John, can I just
Everyone.
Oh, look how many there are!
Everyone other than the people that write in don't like this part. But go for it.
I like it. It's my favourite part of the week.
Just before you start, I put up a poll when we were debating. I got all fancy. 58% of 24 people think it was a handball. 42% of 24 people don't think it was a handball. So there's more on our side, Nigel, than yours.
Yeah, but they've got the current and blue glasses on, haven't they? You know, this is what happens. Football fans, you know, take their brain out of their head, put it on the sideboard, and then they talk about football.
George, when you saw it in real time, did you shout handball?
I did, very loudly.
Okay. Yeah, but you was in an ass for the Chelsea fans.
I was.
Pretty dead. All right. Okay. as well. John was with Chelsea fans as well.
I didn't shout handball, no. But on the replay, I said, that's handball.
Yeah.
I said, anywhere, if it wasn't West Ham, up the other end, for Chelsea, that would have been given a penalty. That's what I said.
Fair enough.
So I did think it was. Wasn't surprised it weren't given, though.
Well, I was watching it with Ozzy, the Spurs fan, and he didn't think it was handball, and neither did I. Even though as soon as they went with the VAR, if he calls him over, he's going off. But even Oz thought that was one of the worst red card he's ever seen.
But the moment he was called over, you're saying he's going off.
Yeah.
We didn't really talk about a red card, did we? Anyway.
We did.
Nigel, go on.
All right. You'd be pleased to know, George, only 28.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
You've got
and this Twitter.
You've got 25 minutes. See if you can do it in 25 minutes.
Let's see what we can do. That's 1 minute. I don't think so. Belinda Kaikitis. Evening, peeps, she says.
Hello, Belinda.
She goes, I don't know. We've like, she got like, I like the way the emoji's even a woman, like going, I don't know. You know? Yeah. If we had players back, I did ask. Perhaps I'll tell you why I said I don't know. Recording tonight, 2 Bucci's, Len and myself. That's the way I left it, yeah? Mention no names. He's commented, ain't getting read out. 5 games left in the season. How do you think it will end, points and position-wise? Short and sweet. She says, oh, I don't know, she says. If we had players back, I'd say 4th is possible, as the games on paper are winnable. But it depends on so much, VAR decisions, other results, what West Ham actually comes out of the game. I feel some of the teams, she says, Suchek, for example, look knackered. Depends on lots of factors. She thinks European football will be ours, but she's not sure which competition. She loves the show. Only one kiss. She said,
oh.
Right, hold up. I think this is you, Len, yeah? Because you think I'll give them out too freely.
That kiss is for me, though.
No. No.
You're going to have to, if you're only going to give one kiss, Belinda, you have to designate your kiss. Them's the rules.
Sean Dugan, evening chaps, he says. He thinks it's been a fantastic season, but injuries to key players at crucial times have cost us points. He can see 3 wins, a draw and a defeat from the 5 games, which gives us 65 points.
and he thinks that will give us fifth or sixth, which will be brilliant. He has got a quick question. I know hindsight's a great thing, but should we really have got a striker back in January, or is the way Jesse has performed made up for the lack of strikers? Right, so we'll go yes or no then. George, should we have got a striker in?
Yes, 100%. The proof's in the pudding right now.
Right, instead of Jesse Lingard?
As well as.
Oh, so you were greedy. John?
Yeah, I'd go greedy, one of each.
Yeah, I want a greedy
option. Let's have a Jesse and a striker.
Yeah, but, you know, first of all, Moyes didn't want one, and two, who was out there right for the price?
Josh
I still
King.
Can't think of anyone. Josh King. Well, Josh King, yeah, but, you know.
I'm back Moyes. I'm back in the manager. No.
I was sitting there watching the Southampton-Tottenham game the other night and thinking we should get Danny Ings in the
summer. Yeah, definitely.
But then
he
went off injured. And I thought, oh, there's why we shouldn't.
Well, he's made for us then.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's true.
It's Appy Chops himself, made Mirian. He gets upset if I don't do that. He thinks we'll end up in the European Conference League, which will be fun. You ain't getting read out either. Imagine all those obscure European nations we can visit ending in Stan. Like Laurel. He's got a question.
He starts in Stan, doesn't he?
We all know that Sean already has his ticket for the Southampton game, but can you update the rest of us on the club's plans for us supporters? Ballot. He then asks, is the senior source worried that if we make it into Europe, it will require massive investment in the squad? I doubt it. And what are the odds on the next transfer deadline day? The senior source will say of Lingard, we tried to get the deal done, but we were unable to get it over the line as we were priced out.
Quite possible. I mean, there's talk of 25 mil in there. Is that what we're thinking for him?
Well, he's got a new contract on the table as well, though, isn't he? Although Ed Woodward probably offered him that.
Right. But, I mean, do we all think that if he doesn't sign that contract and we offer 25 mil, we'll get him in the summer?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the Glazers.
I'd go as far as, I mean, if you look, he's 28. I'm pretty sure we paid about 20. Oh, what did we pay for Arnautovic? 20 million?
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, around that 20 to 25.
Arnautovic was 27, 28, was he, when we signed him?
Yeah.
So I'd definitely for Lingard. I know some. This is what happens with try before you buy. If they're really, really good, it puts the price up. But I would go to 30 for him, maybe 35.
Do you think the old squad's getting a bit old, isn't it, really, if you look at it?
Yeah, I've been saying that for years. I think we're one of the oldest average age squad, and I always say if you look 5 years, how many of these players will be playing? Ignore the fact that we might sell them, in theory, and you could probably only do three. I mean, I didn't even realise Fredericks was, 28?
Yeah, Creswell.
Yeah.
I mean, there's quite a few of them getting on.
Well, the three for me were Declan Rice, Diop. And who was the other one? Oh, I think Souček. I think that was the three in 5 years' time. Oh, Bowen. So chuck four in. That's probably your lot.
Sue Fowles, he's 28 already as well?
He's a couple of years older than Souček, yeah. So I think he's 27, 28.
He's 28.
Moyes will keep him fit, though. Stuart Pearce nearly played left back on Saturday.
he's nearly 60, isn't he? Fit right in. Graham Farrar. He of the trousers says that, well, he probably wears them in his house. Evening all, he says the task has been made harder with the injuries. He thinks we'll get 65 and finish sixth or seventh, although he hopes we can get higher. Whatever happens, it's been a great season, and hopefully we can keep the core of the team in the belief to do better. Rattling through, next up, it's Nicholas Harvey, looking quite dapper in his shirt. Len pick. Evening, gentlemen. Brady out.
Brady out. Yeah.
Brady out.
How good was it to hear from real fans in the ground at Wembley yesterday? Did you see anything of it?
Like, yeah. Quickly?
I did. Yeah. I thought it was good.
Watched a bit of it. It was good. So, yeah.
Same, they never zoomed into the Spurs end when they lost. It was That's usually my favourite part of a cup final, let's be honest.
Well, they zoomed in on Sun, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dear Lord.
Yeah. But, he couldn't even afford his dinner. He had to have a pot poodle. That's all he had money for. But anyway.
I can't stand when the Spurs go marching in. I can't stand that song. Don't steal someone else's song. Drives me nuts.
Well, it all turned out fine.
Yes,
it did. In the end. It did look like it might not in the world for a while, though, didn't it?
I've been about it for weeks.
An England midfield of Mason Mount, Declan Rice and Phil Foden. That's a future, isn't it?
Sterling shouldn't be anywhere near it, should he?
That's a good midfield, that.
That's the three I'd be going with, the middle three. Nick Galas carries on. He thinks we'll end up fifth on 64 points. So he's going higher than Graham, but with less points. Mm. Disappointing performance against Chelsea with the most ridiculous VAR decision ever. He fears the lack of quality and depth in the squad will see us fall short of the Champions League. He's got a question. He says, Plymouth Argyle have signed up their official turmeric partner. What's the most ridiculous partnership Brady would sign us up for?
Oh, we've got a few ridiculous ones. I can't remember them. They're that ridiculous. I mean, they don't make an impact. But we've got some shit ones.
I think Man United have got a noodle partner, haven't they? And that one was
they've got a coffee partner. I've worked there.
Who, Man United?
Yeah. They did have a noodle partner, I think, as well, yeah. They've got a coffee partner.
Yeah, a noodle partner. I mean, really? They got a wine partner.
See, I should have said
they've got wine as well. I see all of this shit.
Why do they want a wine partner?
Like, they're greedy. They just want the money so they can say, give us this amount of money and we can... I don't know.
Yeah, they got coffee.
I say that, they give me my ass in fucking good plunge, you know, really.
Would we be happy with a spot in the Conference League? Europa? Not obviously.
No, I want the proper one. Let's go for the proper one. Come on. I'll take you proper Europa League. I don't expect us to get Champions League now.
So you'll take Europa as a sort of...
Well, I'd love the Champions League, but honestly, I don't think we're getting that now. So I think I'd take Europa League. Fifth or sixth position will be a big, big success, obviously provided... Well, what happens if...
Great success.
We've just got to just keep going.
The funny thing is, I can't see fans being allowed to travel to Europe to watch football.
It won't be.
Yeah.
It won't be. But yeah.
Next up.
Take it anyway.
Davey Jones says, evening all. He thinks sixth or seventh, but he's not sure we can sustain the wins with the injury situation. Whatever happens, it's been a successful season. He's got a question for Len. If you had to have a trusty sidekick, would you go for Penfold or Moroccan Mull?
Well, you said Penfold, yeah.
I think only Penfold, isn't it?
Yeah, bit of Terry. What's his name? I'm shit with names, aren't I? Terry Scott.
Terry Scott. Yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brady out.
Yeah, I mean, if you put a pair of glasses on Sean, looks a bit like Penfold, doesn't he? Paul Nolan, beep beep. Is this the first time this season we've lost back to back games?
First two games we did, didn't we?
Yes. Len, are you going to take that as a request from Nigel there? About Sean looking a bit like Penfold if you put some glasses on.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah.
See where I'm going with that?
There's influence there, isn't there?
George's
influence. I'd like to show you something, Len. And I want to slow it down. What do you think? Can Sean look like Penfold? Let's have a look, shall we? I'll start working on it while Nigel's answering.
Crack on. Paul Nolan says he thinks if we can win the remainder of the games, then fourth is still possible. Fourth is still possible if you look at Chelsea's games, because they've still got Leicester, Arsenal, maybe, and Man City to play.
See, yeah,
if we had more squad depth, we'd be more suited for pushing for fourth in Champions League. We do not want Europa, do we? Well, it's a stepping stone. You have to start with Europa for me.
Let's go, right, go Europa, we'll win it, then we get Champions League next season.
Exactly right. he thinks Europa, though, has a detrimental effect on the team's league position, as we know from before. Quiz question for this week, as we play Chelsea. Was the space around the old shed end goal bigger than the space around our goals currently?
I reckon it was.
It was an old dog track, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the old dog track, yeah.
I can't speak.
Well, it is now because they've straightened it off. And I think it was.
That don't look any better to me.
No, wait till you see it, because it ain't until you go in and stand up above and you think they've actually moved the upper tier, obviously by doing that, away, further away from the lower tier, because they've made the gap bigger because they've straightened the back out as well.
Oh, have they?
Yeah.
Oh, so when you're in the stadium from above, that's going to look dreadful.
Yeah, it's going to be even further away than it was.
Oh, something to look forward to, isn't it, when we go back?
He's got a question. How are we using our spare club cash? Well, I think I'm the only one.
On the ticket.
With club cash, yeah. And that's currently waiting for the Southampton game. So if I get lucky in that.
Oh, I think you might.
It'll go. I think I might. That'll go towards that.
Do you think, so you're saying both you and Sean are going to be lucky?
I just think we'll be lucky.
Yeah. Oh. Come and have a look at this ticket, Joe. We want to show you something.
Anyway. And you know it's always about what you, not who you know. Well, what you know, not who you know, or who you know, what
you
know.
What was that?
Yeah, that's it.
Something like that.
And once I've done that, I'll probably buy a few like miniature figurines. I keep forgetting to get me Pellegrini figurine, me soccer stars.
They've got Snodgrass on there still. It's reduced to £1.50.
Yeah, I need to get, I think I've got Snodgrass already.
Have you? They've also got Zabaleta if you need them.
Oh, I need Zabaleta.
No, you don't want your figurines gathering dust. You want NFTs. That's what you want.
Oh, yes. Well, we'll go. You can cover that later. What's all this superhero stuff?
There you go.
Do you accept Dogecoin yet?
Not yet, no.
No. Right.
Have you got Dogecoin?
I've got Dogecoin, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
No Ethereum?
No. Well, I've got a little bit, but more Doge. Anyway, this isn't a crypto.
No, it's not.
No. You don't listen every week then, George. Edge.
I don't know. I promise you. I'm quite open about that. This is the first Maunders podcast I've listened to in about 4 weeks.
Yeah, every week, cryptocurrency. Even I'm getting to understand it a bit. Ed Hughes says, gents, this is not an unexpected blip. Without Rice and Antonio, it was likely.
Yes.
But with winnable games, although Burnley won't be easy next, and a bit of luck, Europa League is still a strong opportunity. More importantly, VAR. He says the tool is right, but it's being badly used.
I agree. I fully agree with that.
Yeah.
Burnley ain't going to be easy. They just come off a 4-0 thrashing of Wolves at Wolves.
Yeah, but Wolves are shit. We put 3 past them.
No, but they're lively, Burnley.
Chris Wood's at this one game of the season. I'm telling you, we'll do them.
Well, you say that. I'm thinking about Chris Wood as a potential one for us. How old is he?
He's knocking 30. He's been about a bit. He was at Millwall and
29.
Is he a New Zealander?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He turned us down, I thought. I thought we were going to go in for him at one point.
I do think the VAR is just badly implemented and it's a shambles. And if they can't use it, get rid of it. But they should try. It should be called on by the referee. The referee should say, I'm unsure, can someone check that? Or unless there's a Zidane incident, then the VAR referee should call it in. But apart from that, it should just be left alone. It's my opinion. Not
Chris
VAR.
Wood record against West Ham, played 7, scored 6.
Decent.
How old is he?
29. So we probably will sign him.
Yeah, if it right.
Next up is WW himself, Wesley Williams, who I better be nice to because it turns out he's a lawyer.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. He said, I would like to think we will finish 4th with 67 points in the Premier League. Looking at the strength of the schedule, some of those we're fighting for placement against, looks like they may have a tougher go of it. I'm keeping the faith, Wes. I'm with you. Dan Cooper, he thinks we'll fall just short of 4th, but finish 6th. Well, just short of 4th, I think Dan would be 5th in my book. But, you know, I don't want to pick up on this, son.
Not being pedantic or anything.
No, I know. It's the way it goes. We'll just fall short. That's 5th, not 6th. So, but he thinks it'll be a massive achievement. It would be a massive achievement. We've only finished above 6 twice in our history. That's how massive an achievement it will be. Next up is the soul-singing superstar of South Tenerife, who kept me very entertained Saturday night with his singing on YouTube, people, I should point out.
I've subscribed. Why am I getting this?
Oh, I don't know. I think I was a bit Saturday night after the game. I was pottering about. Mrs. was out and it popped up. He was doing a stream. So I thought, I'll click in. Got the start of it. And, mate, he can sing. I'll tell you how good he is, people.
Who's this? Sorry.
Michael Levy Jr. His video afterwards on YouTube has been taken down by YouTube because of a copyright or because it. And I think it's because he sounded so much like the singer of the song that he sung that they probably thought it was the real singer and took it down.
I think, guys, this is the guy in Tenerife who was going to. I've rebooked my holiday for next summer in Tenerife. So I might be able to go and see him.
Calypso Bar in South Tenerife.
There you go.
Mike, I know he's listening. You can come back and tell us where it is. Evening, chaps. He says, how's it going? He's got a different question this week. He says, imagine if back in September, after the first game of the season and the Dower defeat Newcastle, I'd have told you this. So it goes, at the end of April, we'd played 33 games. Allah's been sold at a loss and not replaced. We've got no recognised striker. Antonio's injured. We've missed out on our 35 million target centre-back, but we did sign Craig Dawson. Ogbonna is our best defender. He's just back from injury. And we're now trying to cope with injuries to Antonio, Creswell, Masuaku and Rice. Our squad's so thin. Noble starting every game. We're out of both cups. Where do you think we are in the league? Do you think you'd have predicted it?
No.
I don't think anyone would have, would they?
No. It's extraordinary, isn't it? It is extraordinary.
Yeah. I think next season we see whether it's a blip or whether this is the start of something proper.
Well, this is what Moyes is... I've heard some interviews with Moyes when we were talking about in the transfer window and he didn't sign a striker, having sold Heller And his words were everyone saying, this is your chance. This is going to be your chance to get in the Champions League and all this. He said, I don't see it as that. I see it as this is us now and we are building and we want to have this chance every season. So, you know,
I hope he's right.
Let's see if he gets it right and if he does it. Let's hope he does. It'd be great, wouldn't it, to have a slow build.
Yeah, it's what we've always wanted. It's someone, and Moyes is actually younger than I thought. So, you know, it's quite easy. You could easily see him doing 5 years, maybe more. Yeah. That's what we need. I mean, you think the last manager we had last 5 years.
Yeah, well.
I mean,
yeah.
Allardyce did four, but I've struck his record off the books, so he don't exist anymore.
That's an argument. I've struck his record.
He don't count.
Died and made you God.
He don't count. Judge, mate, and it was you.
Yeah, yeah. That's Churchley. I did ask for that.
Yes. And then he Michael then says, sorry for the long question. All the best. Read her right. Out.
Read her out.
That's all right. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
They don't think so. The booties want to go. You're in their bad books.
We're cracking Michael. On. We're getting through them. He says, and then, yes, Mike, I did enjoy the show. I just want to say, well, which I think you've got, because I'll give you it. So check him out on YouTube, Michael Levy Jr., and on Facebook, and catch him whenever he plays.
Can you put a link somewhere, Nige? On yeah. One of the groups or now. Something there?
Yeah. He does all, like, Motan and stuff like that. He did sort of did one line of Morrissey for me.
Well, I'm not subscribed.
So, Alan Day, the old car dealership. I think we've determined it's Volkswagen now, Al. Obviously, you know, you've been downgraded from Mercedes. He says he hopes we can get into the top five. Leicester possibly could have a meltdown. Chelsea to pip us to third, but he thinks sixth realistically. It's been a great ride while it's lasted. He thinks it's time to bin VAR or the Muppets advising the refs to look at incidents in ultra-slow-mo. Good thing we never covered. He says if that was a red, so should have been Vlad's.
Yeah.
Right, he's got a question. Do you think with the end of the Super League and the Fans United stance against super-rich detached owners that this will see a greater enthusiasm towards GSB out? Or will the owners come up smelling of roses?
I don't think it's going to be either of those. It's just going to be the same old, I think. We had this conversation not long ago, didn't we? Where we said if they were wise and wanted to try and make some real change, they should sack Brady now. And then it would look like that would swing a lot of people round. A good season and Brady
they're
out.
They're not going to do that, are they?
Seeing what the owners, the way the other owners have behaved, the type of owners that a lot of fans have coveted.
Yeah.
Has it made you think twice about GSB?
No, my opinion of them is so entrenched.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't think I could ever come round to them as such. But it would help if Brady was gone.
Mm. Brady out.
Brady out.
Brady out.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother. Solidarity.
Hallelujah.
Next up, Anthony Collins. All right, fellas. Cracking pod, he says. Made even better every week when question time hits and Sean gets bored. Well, you got two Boochies bored for your money tonight, Tom. Two for one here. Balbuena's. Oh, I'm getting Sean's disease. Balbuena sending up the side. The most annoying thing, I'm with you on this, was Chris Coleman's commentary on Sky.
Coleman needs to blow his ear, doesn't he?
Oh, he's dog shit, he is.
It was awful.
He spent the whole game sniffing. Just blow your bloody nose, mate. He's got a question. He said, do you guys think that there's a conspiracy from the FA, the refs and VAR against us? I love people, guys. To try and stop us getting Champions League, just like in 2015-16. Is it a conspiracy?
Well, they're not making it not look like that, are they?
I do think it's just big team bias. And I think that's what it is more than an actual set out to try and scupper us. I just think they give the decisions to the bigger team. Super Six.
Yeah. Well, I'm crap at that at the moment, so... we don't talk Super Six on here anymore, John.
Oh, okay.
You've not been listening either.
No. No. Charlie Cooper, he says, do you think there should be a point system in place to track match officials' performances?
There isn't, there.
This would effectively put them into a league. If a ref has a decision later overturned or consistently misses things, they could be relegated to the league below, but the league below probably won't want them than the one they're currently in. Or if they do well, they can go up one. Well, there is a Premier League list. I think that's about it, isn't there? I don't really know.
Well, there are occasions where if they make consecutive really bad decisions, they get taken out of Premier League games and sometimes put down a division. So something like that must exist somewhere. I guess it's just not publicly available.
Well,
but that all said today, did we put a
yes
appeal in?
Yeah, we did appeal against it, yeah.
Okay. When did we find out about that?
Normally it's done in the week, isn't it? It's done like pretty quick.
Probably be tomorrow, Wednesday, yeah. Well, because it's usually they need to make a decision before the next game to know if he's up for selection or not, so they don't hang about.
Right.
I mean, I bought an auction... a couple of referees' assessments from the 1980s, and I'll have to dig them out. They're quite interesting.
Oh, you showed me one,
didn't you? Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's from 85-86, the Everton game at home when we beat Everton 2-1. And I got them because they were cheap. They were only a tenner. So I bought them purely because I've not got any. It's nice. And there was another one from against Sunderland. And it's quite interesting seeing how referees got assessed back then. This was the ref, I think, was a well-known ref. I think it was Alan Steele, who was quite well-known back in the 80s. And the assessment goes on about what he should have done at decisions, how he let the game flow. So you'd like to think that still goes on. But
yeah,
perhaps they should make them a bit public. Because obviously they must be being assessed by other referees. I don't know.
Well, Mike Riley is the main man, isn't he?
Next up is Harry Taylor. He says, evening, gents. Please tell me it wasn't just me who was screaming at the telly, telling Ogbonna to foul Werner in the build-up. It would have been a good foul to give away, even if it meant him getting booked. What are your thoughts? Brady Hats.
Well, it would have been. With hindsight, yeah, of course. It would have been a great foul.
Yeah.
Do you not think that Moyes has got them drilled where they have to run back in a line? We defend very well as a line. But the problem with that is, where they all run back in a line, that left the space behind them.
Well, he was out of position when he hugged Bono. He was chasing him at one point, and then he realised he had to leave him and went back. So maybe. Right, it's worked out all right so far, isn't it, if that is how he's coaching him.
Yeah. Now, someone called Sean Whetstone's left a message, but it looks the same as AI Sean. So I'm not really sure if it's him, so I'm going to skip it. Pat Carty says, evening, chaps. Seems like we're running on fumes and starting to struggle due to squad numbers. Pat will be happy with Europa League. And as perennial relegation candidates, that's a big step forward. And he thinks smaller steps are a better way to progress rather than leap into Champions League. What do you boys think? I make you right, Pat.
I agree. I agree.
Plus, the thing is, when we go back to going to football, we won't know what day it is anyway, so it won't feel like, so we can do the Thursday, Sunday thing now. Who cares? It's all good in the hood.
Yeah.
I would say yes, but I probably think the reality is that this will be our only season for a while. We're anywhere near this part of the league, so why not go for the big one?
In
Moyes we trust.
I'm the youngest member here, and even I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Next up is AI Sean, who looks a lot like real Sean, but it's AI Sean, so we'll go with it. He says, we're going to be finishing fourth. Do you know about AI, Sean John?
Oh, yeah, no. He followed me and yeah, I followed him.
Yeah.
Whoever it is.
Yes.
Think it's Dodsy.
I do think it's Dodsy.
I heard that Sean thought it was me while I was in the toilet last week.
And I'll tell you why I think it's Dodsy, because Dodsy likes everything he does.
Yeah.
So, Dodsy, sort of give the...
Surely that's a schoolboy error, though.
Yeah, well, that's, one like, Dodds. You know, you think, come on, we know it. Yeah.
Posted 12 seconds ago.
Yeah. It quickly switched.
You sound like you've done this yourself.
AI Sean, though, didn't read the question because he says, can the real Sean confirm how happy Sully and Gold are feeling? Well, no, he can't because he ain't here. It was up there in the question, two booches, and Len and Nigel.
If it was one of us, he would have known that.
Yeah. Brady out, that's all you're getting.
Brady
out.
Next
up, Dave Trevitt, Super Dave Trevitt, says no loss there based on their fuck up on team news prior to the Chelsea game. Also, was going to send in the questions I did last week, but didn't want it ignored like last week. So, did I not see your question, Dave?
What? Really sorry. You ignored a question,
mate. If you don't know the abuse I get, right, when I miss a question, especially when tonight I'm doing it on my laptop, it's when I do it on my phone, it just jumps about. So, Brady out. Next up, it's it's blessings from Jonathan Lowe, the vicar. Or he could be a curate. I don't know. He's the Rev, as we know him. Where is he?
All about Father Chris.
Well, Father Chris is a father, yeah?
Cause is there some kind of,
pecking order?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you got Simon and John Pope. Well, they're the pontiffs, aren't they?
No, so, that's a different religion. We're not that club.
Well, to be honest, how do we know what club they're in?
Well, Father's obviously a Christian. Father Chris is a Christian.
So he's Catholic. The Pope's a Christian.
No, he's a Catholic.
No, it's Christian. The Christian.
The Whippet Air Brigade. Did nothing to do with us.
Christians are Catholics and all the rest, like Methodists and Baptists and Church of England. And
no, I never know.
It's not a religious podcast, guys.
No.
Good job, it's not.
And we would do a lot longer than 2 hours if we were starting to debate religion. So.
Yeah, we've done.
Let's move on from that one.
So the Reverend says, evening playmates, I think you've gone on the wrong website there. After such an amazing season, he'd be happy with anything top seven. He said if we could finish top four, it'd be amazing. He'd like to go for a European tour, and he thinks it'd be a great reward. Thinking back to the Chelsea game, wanting to talk about the travesty of the red card, he was pleasantly surprised how well Ryan Fredericks did down the left-hand side. Do you think he deserves another chance? Blessings, Jonathan.
I liked his attacking threat down there. He's without a final ball, though, isn't he?
I personally don't think he cuts it myself.
It's only the speed and the pace that's the threat, isn't it?
I thought he played really well. He was as good as Johnson at left back. So when you got Creswell and Masuaku, no. I'd like to keep Fredericks. I think he's a good player to have around the squad. Whether he's happy being on the bench at West Ham, that's up to him. But I think for a bloke to bring off, I think he'd come on most games.
He's an affordable NFT too.
Nigel. Yeah.
I'd like to point out.
There's a reason for that. No one wants him.
Could be a good investment.
Yeah. Next up, it's Che Guevara himself, old Sean Cronin. He says, evening, gents. He's not bothered how it earns now. He said, because we've had a fantastic season. What a great outlook. He thinks all the final five are winnable, but there's some bogeys to come, Brighton. So who knows? He'd like to think we can get 10 points, but he's not sure. Champions League proper. Man City or Chelsea winning the whole thing will make fifth good enough. No, they won't, actually. Don't want to spoil that, Sean, but that's not the rule. if Man City win the Champions League and they win the title as well, then fourth don't go Champions League. Fifth don't go Champions League. Fifth only goes Champions League. If
that's what the rumour is, if they win it.
No, fifth only goes Champions
League. No, because League. They... No, I heard... I think there's a lot of bullshit going on about this as well. You're right. Because I heard if they win... No, see, even I'm confused and I've heard it, but I did hear that if they win the Champions League, we get an extra spot, but I don't think we do.
No.
I don't think that's ever on the cards because they won the league anyway. So
you're only allowed five maximum teams from one country in the Champions League. Yeah? And the way for that to happen is either the team that wins the Champions League finishes outside the top four, so they get to go back in as the holders, or the winners of the UEFA Cup from that same country. So the top four go in and then the UEFA Cup team goes in. Now, get this. If Chelsea finish fifth and win the Champions League and then Arsenal win the Europa League, if West Ham are fourth,
we don't qualify.
We don't qualify for Champions League because the five spots, the winners of the UEFA Cup definitely get it. Winners of the Champions League definitely go back in.
I think that's what all my mates on Saturday were calling. They'd like to do a Tottenham to us. I think they did that to Tottenham.
They
didn't
did.
They?
Yeah.
I think you need to get some new mates, John. Really? They say shit like that to you.
It's Sean's brother that's a Chelsea fan, isn't it?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Funny enough, he's a nice bloke, though, isn't he? And you've got Sean as a West Ham fan.
God, that was so, that
one. Poor Sean, he takes one night out of dog's abuse.
Oh, Brady out anyway. And he thanked me for Cuba and the Cameraman recommendation. It was great, which is on Netflix, people. Cuba and the Cameraman, check it out.
Yeah, I watched that.
That is very good. It's
basically, was it a film?
No, it's a cameraman that goes to Cuba, hence the title. But what he does is he goes every 10 years from the 70s he videos the same people. So he goes back and finds them every 10 years.
So how things have changed in Cuba.
Yeah. And it is funny because it's like, without spoiling it, you know, life was good. Then it got really bad when something happened around the world and chaos. And then it seems to be coming back again. Next up, it's the talking of not a religious podcast. It's the Pontiff himself, Mr. Simon Pope. A good evening, gentlemen. He said, I'd like to say that I am the original Pontiff. You are, Mr. Pope. You are the original. And I do listen every week, I think he means. Just don't always get time to message. He's getting slightly worried about the end of the season. We seem to be struggling without Rice and starting to notice how Lingard always seems to be getting slight knocks in the game. Hope he isn't too bad. He can see us slipping up against Burnley as well, which won't be good, free on the bounce and all that. Let's keep our hopes up, get this season over and go into Europe. Gary Prince, Sean's mate, he says 10 more points and he thinks we'll go 7th. So that's 65, isn't it? Marcus Johns, he has also said the same. We'll grab 10 points and end up 7th. Next up, it's the Colonel. Evening all, he says. Brady out.
Brady out.
That's all he says. There you go.
Sometimes, you know.
That's all you need,
that's all you need to say. Yeah. Adam Levitt. Adam, and I make Adam right here. Perhaps we should get Sean onto this. He said he's angry about him ditching the season cards altogether. Because Adam's autistic and obviously... change, they're not good with changing everything, they didn't consult the fans about it, and he's very upset about it, and I think they've done this without looking into how will it affect autistic people. Well, they've scrapped season cards. It's going to be a barcode on your phone. So you either print it out or you take your phone. Well, what if you're like my uncle, 75, he ain't got a smartphone. He's still using a Nokia. And he can't read.
Can anyone tell me?
Yeah.
The benefit of this? Because you can just put the bleating barcode on the card. That's what it is.
Do you want to know what the benefit is?
Saves them money.
There's that to it. And it,
but you can do so much more with the card.
Whether it's an anti-ticket touting measure as well. But when it's a barcode, you can just...
They'll probably use the environmental argument as well, wouldn't they? Well, less plastic and all
not
that.
Not printing it out. That's not environmentally friendly.
Well, if you put it
you
out
can do
on,
so much with the card.
Print it out on environmentally friendly paper.
But then again, the paper's got to go with the card.
Well, no, the barcode's going to be on the paper, isn't it? I don't know. They've not really explained it properly. I think it's crap, especially as someone that collects tickets.
Yeah, I've got all my old season tickets.
I've got all mine. They're not in my name, half of them, but they were mine. it's funny looking.
Oh, dear.
You go, OAP. Oh, yeah, look, that was when I was,
That was when you were
30 and I was under 16.
Yeah, and that's your 12-year-old ticket when you went 5 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I think you'll be pleased to know that is the end. I've whittled through, gone
that
through.
That can't sound like the end to me.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
I don't want him to get more abuse, that's all.
What, Len, what's the NFTs?
It's a non-fungible token, but you don't need to know that. Have you signed up to my website, John?
I haven't.
You have, no. Everyone listening, sign up to canyontownlen.com. All the cool stuff and everything you need to know is all there. You can talk to me whenever. I mean, it's just paradise, really.
Yes, as soon as I'm done here, you've sold it to me.
Yeah, there you go. That.
I could do with a bit of paradise.
I love the way anything on Twitter. Like he didn't know, right?
Isn't there? Is there? It is Facebook Twitter question time.
You did reply to it.
Anyway, everyone sign up to canyontownlen.com. Keep in touch that way.
You're all right, boys. There's only one. It said, what did Sean buy? So it's Dan 31604343H. He said, 3 hours ago that was, what did Sean buy Karen Brady for her birthday earlier this month? Is he aware of Moy's summer ins and outs, or do we have to pay a fiver for that? Brady out and Lenin.
Brady
Lenin,
out.
Lenin, he's getting all communist now.
Lenin.
That's what he says, Lenin.
Dear. We don't know because Sean's not here.
Yeah. And I think Sean will always not be always ready not to take the fiver route because other people have. And he loves being the one who hasn't. That's the way I see it. Well, then, but they are going under a paywall, aren't they? At some point, Clout and Huge.
I think they're doing a plus version, aren't they?
Yeah, an ad-free version.
Mm.
Then you're going to have to read Sean shit.
Just get ad-block the people. Get ad-block. Read his stuff and don't give him the money. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Because it's like it could be your like guilty little secret. You can snigger, yeah, I'll read Claret and You, and you think I've read it and I gave you nothing for it.
We could just put it all on canyontownlen.com.
Paradise.
Just head over to Paradise. That's
right. Yeah, paradise.
Right. I think this is it, lads.
Predictions.
You kept me long enough.
Yeah.
Predictions. Who have we got? Burnley. Predictions. Len, what do you reckon?
Burnley win. 2-1.
Chris Wood 2, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nigel?
3-2 West Ham.
Very nice. John?
1-1 draw. Chris Woods to score John? For them. Yeah, hello?
Oh, no.
Now, John's there. He said 1-1.
I didn't hear that. 1-1.
Chris Woods to score, he said.
I'm going for a 1-0 win. 1-0 win. There we go. That is Maunders Podcast for the week. I've been George, just about.
It's been a long time.
Do you know what we do at the end here?
I don't know. What do we do now? Do we play the theme tune or what? Play the outro? We used to have an outro. Do we still do that?
I think we still do.
All right, it's coming.
Normally it didn't work and we sing it.
John, you've been...
I've been here through to the end.
Hey, first time in a while. Len has been...
happy to get to the end with the booches.
Hey, and Nigel has been...
I've got up the Man United in my sticker book. So by next week, I should be nearing getting to the end of it, even though I won't have completed it. And it is 2019-2020, so I'm still a year behind.
Got some catching up to do.
Yeah.
NFTs, that's what you need.
Thank you for listening. Come on, you are. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.